Hello, nurse and patient.
Welcome to the Oncology Nurse On Call podcast. Please join me and Stephanie as we discuss oncology nurse navigation with Emily Beard. Emily currently serves as an oncology survivorship navigator at the Winship Cancer Institute at Emory University.
It's funny when I, you know, I guess when you look at my resume, you would see that I started as a navigator in 2007, but I that was when I was hired to be the first nurse navigator at a small community hospital here in Atlanta. And it was kind of back in the day when navigation was kind of a newer concept. We were still kind of proving to hospital administrators the value of it. But my sort of identity as a navigator, I feel like really started when my mom was diagnosed, which was in 2005. So a couple of years before that, we were really close, and I had moved in with her to save rent money while I was in nursing school. And she was diagnosed in her 50s. She was really healthy. It kind of really just came as a shock and very much out of the blue. And she was, you know, an attorney with, you know, health insurance and great resources and support. And every single time, you know, we were sitting there in front of a doctor in, you know, an exam room, she's just kind of paralyzed with decisions and, you know, overwhelm. And, you know, she had money to pay for parking and she had resources to get to where she was, like where she needed to go. And we would look at each other and say, like, how do people do this that don't have these kinds of resources? And, you know, in that moment, I laugh now that I created or discovered navigation. Of course, I hadn't. It was, you know, something that had been going on for quite a while. But in those moments and asking those questions is kind of when I started to really hone in on the barriers to care and how overwhelming it can be for people that are, you know, are dealing with cancer diagnosis. So, you know, and for her, it was more about her fear and her, you know, paralysis of like analysis paralysis, not having answers. And how do I kind of make these decisions? And so that's where I sort of felt called to be a navigator. And so I worked as a navigator and, you know, felt really lucky to sort of jump into a role. I laugh now when I think back on it because I, really wasn't qualified at all. Fortunately, the woman who hired me was a cancer center chaplain. She was our director.
Wow.
And
wow.
She was amazing. And she really understood that our role was about resources and about not about even resources so much as relationships and about helping people connect and really to listen to the patient and what the patient needed. And she truly, her name was Betty Castellani, Reverend Betty. And she was really who I learned about being a patient advocate from. And honestly, she hired me. She told me, she was like, "You're not qualified. You're, you know, you've only been out of nursing school for 2 years, but I feel that you have passion and you get it. You know, you've been sitting with your mom. You've been a nurse for a couple of years. You've seen the problems that people face." She's like, "You can learn the nursing part. You can learn, you know, they have certifications for that. So you can go find that." But what she really felt like I had was this sort of passion for connecting with people and wanting to meet them where they were and help them, you know, overcome their barriers to care. And that's really at the heart of navigation is like, you know, being able to meet a patient individually and recognize, you know, what they need. So, you know, that part was great. And then she did also require me to get certified. So that's where the, you know, the experience with
ONS. Betty. And, I like Betty.
So she was not, she wasn't going to let me out of that piece. So I did get my OCN within, I think, a year of starting that job, maybe two. And then I went on to get the certified breast care nurse from ONCC also. And so, you know, I'm a self-proclaimed nerd. I don't let a CME go by that I don't sign up for, kind of constantly always trying to learn and understand more about cancer care and about, you know, really the biology of the disease and treatment options and all of that. But yeah, Betty really was the one who I think taught me how to be an advocate. And now I really think of navigation as being the thing that, helps me be a problem solver. You know, I say it's like being a professional problem solver because you're met with a patient care situation that may or may not have a clear answer, but and I may not, I'm almost always not the one who can help the person directly, but I can usually help them connect to a resource. So that's something that, I'm really proud of. So that's the, that's kind of the short, very long answer
Yes.
to how I got
No,
to be a navigator.
it just reminds me of the probably hundreds of stories I've heard throughout my 40 years in oncology nursing, how many nurses ended up in oncology. It was either a family member, a friend, a patient that stuck with them, and you were able to take your mom's journey and make it your career and make it something really great for other patients. So, it's a great story. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, having spent time in navigation, and this is kind of a tough question to answer in 20 minutes, never mind 5 minutes, but where do you, in your experience and from your vantage point, where do you see where are the biggest gaps in patients' journeys today? And I know your focus is breast and GYN, correct?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
you're dealing with women who tend to be really good advocates for themselves for the most part when it comes to these diagnoses. But where are you seeing the gaps? How can we do better?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is such a great question, and I think this is really the when we're talking to our again, when we're talking to kind of about the value of navigation and we're talking about it like, to the C-suite folks or to patients, directly, it's the same answer. It's really about, identifying those barriers to care and helping patients figure out, where what they need sort of next, like what is your next step, truly, like what, what is the plan? So I think first of all, I think the biggest gap really is going to depend on the patient, but I think for, a lot of times that first, it's that initial time of diagnosis. So when somebody is first given the news that they have cancer, it's often a shock. It's usually not something somebody's expecting or, planning on. I say a lot of times it's like being dropped in a foreign country. There's this new language. You're surrounded by basically strangers who are telling you a lot of information that you have to take in and process and then make decisions very quickly. So I think navigators make a huge difference in those early days. But again, it's often like a blur. Patients are often just completely not even hearing half of what we're saying to them. So I think, use of like care coordination and almost like a concierge model can be really helpful in that early diagnosis time. But I also think that the real value, and this is exciting, my next role is going to be kind of in a role where I'll be helping people who are post-treatment. So I think when people are in a transition, from one treatment phase to the next, for example, somebody's going from surgery to radiation, or they're going from chemotherapy to surgery, or back, they're going back to surgery after they've completed neoadjuvant chemo or something like that. There's a lot of conversations to be had and a lot of questions to be answered, and people that are, having maybe they don't understand the rationale behind, or maybe they're wondering, well, Betty, who I know, or, Sarah, who I know from my neighbor who had breast cancer, she didn't have the same process that you're describing to me. So then they start to kind of wonder and question and say, is this really right? Am I doing the right thing? So I think a navigator or a, a care coordinator of some sort, an advocate of some kind who can kind of step in and just reassure the patient either that, yes, this treatment is appropriate for what you need, or no, that's a great question and a great point. Let's walk back and kind of make sure you understand the rationale, make sure you understand what's happening. So I think, that kind of early stages is one time where the gap can be really helpful. Oftentimes there's delays in care because of all the decisions that have to be made and all the appointments that have to happen. And so sometimes just helping somebody kind of streamline those or know what they need to do first can be helpful. And then the truth of it, after now 20 years in this world of breast cancer in particular, is that I think when someone, goes from the point where they're being actively treated to when that treatment ends and they're sort of in the what now phase, that time can be really critical as well. And so I find like the gaps there are often, that's often when the patient really has to reckon with this idea of, I have cancer, and what does that mean? And the overwhelm and the fear just kind of come to, set in. We call that survivorship, right? That's the phrase or the word that we use to describe that period of sort of time, when someone's finished with treatment and moving on to this kind of next phase. And for some people with stage four cancer who now may live for a very long time with metastatic disease, that can be sort of an ongoing process, right? And so I'm fascinated by that time. And so I think that's why I'm drawn to this new role that I'm going to be in as a navigator for people in survivorship. And what that will look like is more resources and, helping them return to kind of the new normal, if you will, or, what that may look like. Kind of more of a focus on wellness and well-being versus treatment. I think too, as I think about gaps, I mean, certain patient groups are going to have more gaps. I'm also very drawn to working with young women. So, women under 40, for example, with breast cancer, young survivors, even younger, like teenagers, adolescents with cancer, are also a group that I have a heart for and find myself working on behalf of often. Just helping them understand the diagnosis, helping them identify resources that are specific to them. They've often not had to handle difficulties in their lives, so sometimes it's just learning how to cope, ask for help, communicate, understand their diagnosis so they can advocate for themselves, ask for the resources that are available. And then I also just feel really strongly that there are other groups that are marginalized that just have generally not been a focus for the mainstream cancer programs. And those are things, people like the LGBT community, for example, and making sure that there's resources to provide access that are specific and culturally relevant to folks with that life experience. Same for Black and Latino women. We know that they face a much higher and more aggressive type of breast cancer and often have more disparities in terms of those diagnoses and in worse outcomes. And so, that breaks my heart. And I found that, I think when I was in nursing school, the people that were like wanting to go into trauma never, it never made sense to me. I was like, how could you want to go running into an emergency and start CPR or something. But now I kind of get it because I'm that way. I want to run into like the financial toxicity conversation, or I want to go running into a situation where somebody has a resource need or an opportunity to really make a difference with, with a resource that exists that they just may not know is available to them. So, I think that's a gap that we still unfortunately have now more than ever, folks with financial toxicity and just the cost of cancer care and the lack of resources for that. And so many of those women in our center, for example, it takes time to kind of uncover all of those concerns. And so, when we're rushing them in and out for appointments, again, just having the time to sit down and say, hey, what's going on? What's happening? And have them, have a chance to kind of tell us, okay, the reason I'm late today was because I had to take a bus because my car broke down and I can't afford to fix it. And, I'm choosing to put food on the table and, replace my transmission so I can get here. And so, those are times where we can kind of take a break and take a step back and, talk about, okay, well, have we tried this one-time grant that could help you with gas? Or can we, apply for a small loan from this, organization that might be able to provide, assistance for rent or childcare, things like that, often patients are like, I had no idea this even existed. Thank you so much. So those are the kinds of things I think that the gaps are there for sure.
Hello, nursing patients.